From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing to study the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message called The Last Week Before the Cross. During those days immediately preceding the ordeal of the trial and the horrors of the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ went steadily forward in the face of the stubbornness and rebelliousness that was all around him. Nothing could deter him from accomplishing the high and holy purpose for which he had come into the world. Before returning to the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, The Gospel According to Oprah.
As I noted yesterday, in 1976, an atheistic psychology professor wrote a book titled A Course in Miracles. She claimed to be merely the scribe of the book and that the contents had been channeled to her in a series of strange dreams by one calling himself Jesus. The book has spawned a movement and recently shot to the top of the popularity poll through Oprah Winfrey's promotion of it. At the beginning of 2008, Winfrey began a year-long course on the book on her daily radio show on satellite radio. Now, yesterday I looked at some of the basic philosophy of the book that Oprah is using as a textbook for some 600,000 people. Today I want you to listen to some of the chapter headings of the book that she's teaching. She says she's not teaching religion, and I'm saying that she's blowing smoke in your face. This is religion. It's Satan's religion, a direct assault on the person and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, while falsely claiming his name as the one who channeled the message to Helam Schukman, the New York psychology professor who wrote A Course in Miracles. So here are some of the chapter headings. Nothing I see in this room or on this street from this window in this place, nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. I do not understand anything I see. These thoughts do not mean anything. They're like the things that I see in this room or street or from the window, etc. My thoughts do not mean anything. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. A meaningless world engenders fear. God did not create a meaningless world. My thoughts are images that I have made. I'm determined to see. I'm determined to see things differently. God is in everything I see. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. I am not a victim of the world I see. I have invented the world I see. My mind is part of God's. I'm very holy. My holiness envelops everything I see. My holiness blesses the world. There's nothing my holiness cannot do. My holiness is my salvation. I am blessed as a son of God. And so you could go on with such garbage. These are some of the chapter headings in the book from which, or the workbook, the lessons from which Oprah Winfrey's teaching. Now, after all this, Oprah Winfrey wants us to believe that what she's teaching isn't religion. As I say, it's not only religion, it's overtly anti-Christian religion. In a way, what she is teaching is easy to identify. Anything that is so openly and blatantly in contradiction to Christ is anti-Christian. It's also crazy. Listen to this. Some of the ideas the workbook presents you will find hard to believe. Others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You're merely asked to apply the ideas as you're directed to do. You're not asked to judge them at all. You're asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept them. And you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. What a load of utterly self-contradictory New Age rubbish. This is the gospel according to Oprah. This is how to realize spiritual health and inner peace. Peace that is based on the rejection of God's Word and God's Son is a delusion. The Lord Jesus does not give you the option of disbelieving Him and His Word, as Oprah's religion tells you you may do with it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So said the Lord Jesus. This is the gospel according to the true Jesus. The gospel according to Oprah is the lie of a demonic impersonator of Jesus.
Jesus, He's my Savior and my friend, the author and creator, beginning and the end. Oh, my eyes are fixed upon Him, He who died to take my place. My heart is bent to serve Him, His pattern I must trace. I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm feasting on His Word. I'll search not to the left or right, I will not face the rear. When friend or foe forsake me, Lord, I will not shrink in fear. I am looking to the King of Kings. I'm looking up to Jesus, He who laid down every course. He's run the race before us, of strength the runner's source. Oh, consider with attention, He who took a servant's form. Completed our requirement, to His Father's will conform. I'm looking unto Him, glory unto Him. I'll run the race with patience, endure what God deems best. I'll lay aside the sinful ways that make me fail the test. I will search the Holy Scriptures that can every problem solve. I'll serve my God and Savior, and that with great resolve. And that with great resolve. When friend or foe forsake me, Lord, I will not shrink in fear. I am looking to the King of Kings, of Kings.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
I was reading the great American Presbyterian preacher from half a century or more ago, Clarence McCartney. And McCartney noted that early American preachers used to pray a prayer that today would sound very strange. They prayed that God would give us an honorable through bearing. That's exactly what the Savior did. You see it again and again among God's people in Scripture. You remember what was said of Abraham and his party, that company of people as they left Haran to come into the promised land. Genesis 12:5 says, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. That's a great text. They set out to go to Canaan. That was their goal. And into the land of Canaan they came. That was their accomplishment. Going on, we see that in the Savior. But he teaches us that this going on is far, far more than a mere hanging on to the end. The Lord Jesus shows us what it is to finish your course, however difficult that course may be, in the glory of victory. You remember at the beginning of his life, or his public life, when he went into the temple and cleansed it, the disciples were made to think of the great text, "The zeal of thine house
has eaten me up. Now here he is at the end of his public ministry, repeating that action, and once again you can see that the zeal for the Father's house burned as brightly at the end of the Savior's ministry as it did at the beginning. I have no doubt that at least some of you in these weeks will be paying attention to the events in the Olympic Games in Athens. I'm not going to give any personal opinions as to the decreasing significance of those events, but that's an opinion, and Micah's Pred will be saved from personal opinions, so I'll not give you those. But you'll be paying some attention to what's going on in Athens. Brings to mind that in ancient times, the Athenians used to have a race in which all the runners carried lighted torches. And the victors who were crowned at the end of the race were those who reached their goal with their torches still burning. Just think of that. For there's a wonderful truth there. The overcomer, the crowned victor, is the one who reaches the goal with the torch still burning. That's how the Savior came to the end of his life on earth. That's how he finished his course. And that's the example for us to follow. For we also may reach the end of our course, whenever that may be, in glory, in victory, with the torch still burning. Wasn't that how Paul came to the end of his life? Paul, the old warrior, the man who had been beaten and bruised and left for dead, the man who had suffered more than we could ever imagine, more than the mere words can convey. You would imagine that coming to the end, he would be wearily dragging one leg past the other, hardly able to stagger to the end of the journey. But he says, no, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure, my exodus, is at hand. He sees himself as a great ship of state, as it were, the state of glory, the state of heaven. And he's about to set out on his final journey to his home port. Time of my exodus is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Now understand, he's saying, I did fight, and I'm continuing to fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And far from being an embittered or defeated old fellow, he's looking forward. It's always great when old people are still looking forward. It is always the infirmity of age that it lives in the past. It's looking backward. You know you're over the hill when you're always looking backward. That's the temptation of the flesh. Nothing is what it used to be. Well, it may be true, it may be untrue. Whether it's true or not, old people are still going to think it anyway. People always talk about the good old days. I remember my mother-in-law saying, there were no good old days when she was a child. Those were not good old days. And when people hark back to the good old days, they haven't a clue in the world what they're talking about. Some time ago, some folk in the church gave me a video of that I really wasn't able to watch the whole way through. I got so mad, so angry at it, of this family in England. I think this has now been duplicated here in the States, but this family in England, who were taken, selected as being perfectly the best family to undergo this enormous trial of being put in a 1900 house and see how they would manage. I never saw a greater bunch of cooks and idiots. The things that they couldn't put up with, the things that they didn't know to do. I said to Joan, I said, I can't be bothered thinking that that's a trial. When we went on vacation when I was a kid, That house would have made our house look like a mansion. The things that they have to do, we were doing every day. There was no particular difficulty. You just did it, and you lived that way, and you enjoyed it. We had a little house we were able to use in the country and down near the seaside, and you had very few amenities, but man, you had a wonderful time. There was nothing particularly wonderful about those good old days. People today couldn't live in them. But the point I'm making is old people tend always to be going back, and they stagger up to the finishing line without any forward vision. The apostle, as he comes to the end, is saying, henceforth, I'm looking to glory. I have my eyes on the prize. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Thank God we may follow our Savior to the end with flaming torches. For a Christian, the flaming torch is the torch of testimony. It's the torch of truth that he carries in his hand. It's the torch of his personal witness through experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. To put it differently, it is the power of God in his life as a living reality. It is the joy of an ongoing fellowship. It is the reality of communion with God being seen in his life day by day. And the scripture is teaching, by the example of the Savior, by the text that I have cited, that this is not something that's a passing phenomenon. It is something that we as God's people may have and should have with brightness to the very end of the journey. Make sure the torch continues to burn. I've spoken about old people. Let me speak about young people. You know the major reason why when people get old they don't have a flaming torch? It's because it's very difficult to kindle in old age. And many can look back to a time when that was blazing bright. But in their youth, they got so enraptured with things of no value that they lost the flaming zeal, the beauty of their personal testimony and witness. And when they reach old age, there's not much brightness left. It was dissipated and lost years before. Oh, today let's realize, like the Savior, we can and we should reach to the very end, still going full strength. When you look at the Savior in these final days again, you find that facing the reality of the stubborn rebellion and the ultimate impenitence of many of the people to whom he ministered, yet he persisted. That's easy to overlook. But as I sat and thought about this, to me it was a very telling truth, and it gives you an insight into the patience and the commitment of the Savior's heart. The Lord Jesus had been publicly ministering for some 3 years. He had been up and down the country. He had done miracles. He had spoken as no man had ever spoken on earth before. God had made it clear, even to the leaders of the Jews, that he was from God. Nicodemus confessed that. The Jewish leaders knew. And yet, despite all this, the Lord Jesus recognized that this nation was in stubborn rebellion. He recognized that they were going to put him to death. He recognized that they were ultimately impenitent. and they would choose anything over Christ and over the truth that he was bringing to them. Furthermore, he recognized that in all that, there was the sovereignty of God, that he was there to go to the cross by the sovereign, eternal purpose of his Father. And yet, with all that going on, he persisted in his preaching, in his witnessing, in his calling, in his invitation, in his instruction, and in his miracle working. On the one hand, he did not allow the truth of the sovereignty of God to be a reason why he should say, well, God's will be done. They're going to be impenitent anyway. They're going to put me to the cross. The sovereignty of God is here, so I don't need to do anything. The sovereignty of God for Christ was not a reason for inaction. It was a reason for action. Let us never forget that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.